Our kids went with us, so last night we had a bit of reflection about what happened. And our kids were worshiping, and at this stage, we are believing God for Carla for friends, because she doesn't have friends. She really wants friends within the neighborhood. And they were worshiping, and she was writing things down in a journal, and so I asked her last night, could I share this? This is her journal. I promised I won't read the other pages, just this page. So I'm only on this page. She's 8 years old now, and she said she wrote this as we were worshiping Richard. She wrote this, Jesus said to me that when I get friends, I must give them a card, and they will come to church with me. Now it's one of those orange invite cards. And then she said God convicted her of getting angry at me and her mom when we tell her to pick up things. She said to us, sometimes she's got this attitude when we tell her to pick stuff up and do stuff up. She doesn't like it. And God convicted her, and God said, but you must repent. And she repented. And as we were singing, she wrote this down with what James was singing. Open the eye of my heart, Lord. Heart spelled with a T, and open the eye, not eyes. And then she wrote this, lay down your life first. Psalms 100, shout for joy to the Lord of all the earth. And the last part that she wrote down was, one day Lord our God will come and take us to heaven. And she's excited about it. And the one thing that she said that God told her she must lay her life down. It was amazing. We didn't help her write it. She wrote it on her own. And it's never in vain, Richard. It's never in vain. It's so amazing. It's most probably one of the biggest life lessons she will ever learn. Hearing Christ himself telling her she must lay her life down. So it's never in vain. And what I just realized, I changed my sermon last night as I was understanding what God was trying to tell us. And if we believe God still speaks to us, and if we believe God uses this book to speak to us, then Scripture should be very authoritative in our lives. If this is what we really believe. And I'm wanting to do something that I usually don't do, because we live in a culture where we know so much but nothing changes in our lives. And I'm wanting what we're going to hear this morning to change our lives. I want it to change my life. So I want us to stand, and then we're going to pray Psalms 119 verse 18 to 4. Which again, please just stand and just flight Psalms 119 verse 18. This is what I'm going to ask God. Open our eyes this morning, God, that we may behold wondrous things out of you. Open our eyes, not knowledge. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to understand who you are. Open our eyes to see how you think. Open our eyes to see how you feel. Open up our eyes to see what you dislike, and open up our eyes to see what you love. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This morning I'm wanting to share on the restoration of joyful worship. The restoration of joyful worship. We're going to go to the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was famous and is still famous for rebuilding Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple. And so, chapters 1 to 7 in Nehemiah is about the reconstruction of the temple. And chapters 8 to 13 is about the restoration of the temple. And we're going to look at that, and I think it's quite fitting that God wants to speak with us like that, because in the situation that the UK is in currently, all I'm wanting to drop with you is God doesn't have a problem to start over with anything. He doesn't have a problem in doing that. If the UK being separated from the EU means that that's going to draw us closer to God, then let's do it. That's what God's doing. If it's for one or another sinister way that something's going to happen, that God's going to sort it out, because God knows how to start over with any empire. And then right in the middle of everything, there's Israel. They're not part of the EU. They like their own little country going, just going on between all the nations. They're successful because God wanted them to be successful. And so if God's wanting this move to be successful, He'll make it happen. What we need to do, we need to keep our eyes focused on Christ and what He wants us to do. Now, the Israelites went through the same thing. Remember, they were for 70 years captive in Babylon. So they came back to rebuild. And I think this is a time of rebuilding. The theme of Shofar this year is God's building. We shouldn't forget God's building. So I think what's happening is this God rebuilding and building. But for us as worshippers this morning, I know God is wanting to restore joyful worship. Joyful worship is church to us. So, we're going to pick up from verse 1 and 2, chapter 8. And I'm going to read, and then I'll expound on it and read again. So, the whole wall was now rebuilt. Everybody's excited. Now watch this, what happens in chapter 8. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. It's interesting that water is always alluded to in Scripture as the Word of God. The thirst for the Word. So they're at the water gate, not the temple. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses so that the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. Something extraordinary happens here. The pastor doesn't call this meeting. The priest doesn't call this meeting, nor the band. The people actually said, look, bring the book of the law. Let's read verse 1 again. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the priest, bring the book of the law. They didn't wait for Sunday. They didn't wait for the band or the priest. They said, look here, we want. And the first thing, if we want to restore joyous worship, truthful worship, the first thing that we must do is we must desire God's word. We must be a hunger for God's word. A deep hunger to realize that God, this is the only constant thing that will be able to change our lives. And Scripture says they did it as one man. They weren't divided in it. They weren't divided in the Scriptures. All that they knew, that this book should be read to us. And it will change our lives. And isn't it so? Appetite. Scripture is very clear on what our appetite should be. And their appetite here was the Word of God. They were hungry for this. Because remember, we're restoring worship. Can you remember Graham Kenry? And Andy Bromley saying, Graham Kenry said, show me your song now. Show me your theology. Andy Bromley said, the fight's not for worship. The fight's for the purity of worship. Purity starts when we have a desire for God's word. A deep desire that these are the words that will change us. This is the only thing. And as a congregation, that they just felt it. I am so blessed. So Ezra the priest was to walk the room before the assembly, both men and women, all understand what they were saying. Then verses 3 to 4 says, this is where I got worried. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. I don't know about you, I don't like it. In the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. Then verse 4 says, and Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform like this that they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood all of those guys. I'm not going to pronounce their names now. But they stood there. But you know what? What's so beautiful for me is that Scripture said that they were reading this early in the morning. And verse 4, just as verse 3, the people were listening. They didn't only have a desire for God's Word. The second thing is they listened to God's Word. And it wasn't in a long time. Early in the morning, till the afternoon, they just stood and listened. It's one of those things that I think we've lost in translation. People don't know how to listen. They don't know how to be attentive. But these guys, they were standing there. I was reading an interesting story in those days when they chose American presidents. The one guy would get up and for 3 hours he would give his discourse, and then the people would listen to him. And then after him, the other guy running for president, he would stand up and give for 3 hours his discourse. And out of that, people made the decision who would be the president. I mean, nowadays, after minute number 7, people will start thinking about their tactics and whatever we think of. Go our own ways. But there's not an attentiveness to listen. We're talking about restoring godly worship. These people listened to the word of God. There was an openness to receive the correction and the instruction. And they listened. Verse 5, let's read that. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. They didn't sit from the morning till the afternoon. They all stood. Which shows me they didn't only have a desire and they didn't only want to listen to God's word, they all also respected God's word. That's why they were standing there. There was a respect for the word. We talk about worship. Do you recognize that they're worshiping? They're actually worshiping. They have a desire to worship. They have a desire to listen. They have this respect of the authority of God's word. Listening to it. They sing it. They're standing there and it's like God speaking himself. It wasn't about Ezra. It's about what was written there. No deviation. Remember, this is 70 years after captivity. That's why they're saying a lot of people didn't understand. There's quite a few times that Ezra says, a lot of Nehemiah says, Nehemiah says, a lot of people didn't understand because they lost their language. They couldn't understand Hebrew because they were slaves. So some of them couldn't understand it, but they listened. And the reasons why all those other guys were on the stage, they were translating to those who couldn't understand. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. Watch this. Lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the earth. That is just a beautiful verse 8. And then all those guys, they all together. They helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. You know what's beautiful from that? That not only had they had desire to listen. They desire, they listen, they respect you. But they also, in verse 6, as we read it, they responded to God's word. There was their response to God's word was worship. They fell flat on their faces. You see, God's word must move our emotions. You can't read God's word and like think, oh yeah, this is a good. Yeah, sometimes we can be like that. But what I see here, when God's wanting to restore joyous worship, when people read the scriptures, when they sing the scriptures back, it moves their emotions. You know, sometimes we, one guy did a test, I saw it. There's a fake moving of emotions, but then there's a true moving of emotions in the scripture. When you read what in this book can be, like, God, this is actually, the Bible can't be boring. It cannot be boring. What we sing cannot be boring. On that day, when we sang that, I was thinking on the day that I was going to die. Was it going to be like that thing? On that day when I spent this way, I was thinking about the death that seriously. So, my soul was so weary when I was in the world. My mom phoned me for my first week. And she had been to see me. She struggled to breathe. And when I got to her, she took the mask off. So she spoke because she couldn't breathe properly anymore. And I asked her, what did that happen? Are you scared? And she said, today, I'm going to be closer. Today, I'm dying in pains. Please preach the gospel to me. The gospel, lady got saved. That's it. Think about that when we sing. You see, when we sing scripture, when we read scripture, when scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it is new knowledge. John 3:16, God so loved, it must move our emotions. Let's read the response. Now, let's read verse 7 and 8. Also, Yeshua, Bani, Rabbi Yamin Akub, Shebatai, Uriya, Naishai, Kelita, Azaria, Josabat, Hanan, Pilei, and the Levites. You can't argue with me that that's most probably the most fun you've ever had while reading names. Today, this morning, it's the most fun you've ever had reading these names. See, those guys, while the people remained in their places, they explained to the people, this is what we're doing. Remember, it's the whole morning. They read from the book of the law clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. In other words, if people understand what is being read, they can, and this is my other point, practice what they read. We've got to be able to practice what we read. We're talking about joyous worship. They busy with the worship service. We got to be able to practice what we sing. When I just got saved, there was a song I used to sing it out. Jesus, I believe in you, and I would go to the ends of the earth. And after 4 months, I thought, the ends of the earth. I started thinking about Antarctica and Greenland and India and Pakistan, and I thought, God. But you know, we've got to be able to practice what we sing, because that means we understand. They understood the scriptures. Let's read verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the Lord. Wow. We're talking here about addiction. God's word, worship, addicted. The conviction of the Lord. That's my next point. You know, there comes a place when you read Scripture and Scripture will challenge your intellect. It will challenge the way you think. It will challenge what you thought of something and what you think of it now. But then there comes a place where Scripture will move your emotions. Worship will move your emotions. But then there'll come a place where Scripture will challenge your convictions. What you felt is being changed. How do you feel about this now? It will change your whole being and your whole thinking. Your core convictions. Before I came to church, before I read Scripture, this is how I felt about worship. Now that I've read the Scriptures, now that I've seen what Scripture says, my convictions need to change. You see, the people were weeping because the tears spoke of a tender heart, a contrite spirit, a spirit willing to receive. Willing to receive. There's an openness now, there's a tenderness now because the Scripture, it cuts like a two-edged sword. You know, God's promises always cuts both ways. A blessing will always cut both ways because if God bless you, somebody will hate you. It cuts both ways. But that's the conviction that you've got to live with. You see, you know what a conviction is when it comes to worship and Scripture? A conviction is this: I'm willing to lay my life down for what I've heard. That's a conviction. I'm willing to sacrifice everything for what I'm reading here. Then verse 10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord." Watch this. "And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." You see, that is where that term comes from, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want to know how do you come to that place, the joy of the Lord is my strength, there's the steps. Sometimes we tell people, you know what, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord, and there's just no joy. It's happiness. You know, happiness changes. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, convictions speaks of a tender heart. But when we come to the place of joy, it speaks of a changed heart. You can only experience the joy of the Lord if your heart has changed. Look, if you're not sad, you don't need joy, isn't it so? If there's no godly sorrow, then you won't need joy. Just like when you won't eat food if you're not hungry. You won't put on clothes or come. Now, this is an interesting dichotomy in Scripture. You can't figure it out, but it's true. So they had godly sorrow, tender hearts, but now, my next point is the joy, they had a change of heart. Changed everything inside of them. This heart is willing to share and make the poor part of the joy between. In other words, you know, the Scripture says that Ezra told them, "Now we want you to go and share what you have received. This is what you must go and do. You've come to this place of the joy of the Lord is our strength. You're not being psyched up. Scripture and this worship service, it just changes your heart. Now you gotta go. You gotta go and share it, and you've gotta go and you've gotta impart it. You've gotta teach people how to do it. You've got to sit down with people when they come with you and you tell them, okay, I'm going to teach you now how to read scripture, how to hear what God's saying. Write down what God's saying and then live it out. We're talking about the restoring of joy to worship. That's the restoration of joy to a whole congregation that dug into scripture, that had that respect to hear what God was saying. It flipped their whole lives. They were never the same again after hearing that. And that's why I started at the beginning saying, if we really believe God still speaks, and He gave us this book because He talks in it to us, then this must be authoritative in our lives. And so for some of us, like me, sometimes it's very difficult to understand the change, to see the change, but I want to challenge you to go sit down with Scripture. You read the Psalms, you read the Scripture until the sorrow turns to joy. The joy of the Lord doesn't come cheap. It's sitting down with Scripture and worshiping God. And then when we come here, it's just this culmination of everybody being excited about what God's going to say. It comes together and it just explodes in what we're singing. And then from here we go out again and we just impart it into people's lives. Now I just want to say that this morning, don't read Scripture in a way that if you miss it, then God's like going to punish you. As soon as you start reading Scripture like this, I've missed my Bible reading this morning. I've missed my quiet time. Ooh, God's going to be... Now, that's magic. God doesn't do magic. We're all busy. Sometimes you should wake up 6:45, but then you wake up 6:45, you're late for work. We all know that. Things go wrong. God's fine with it. All that God wants is that when you do pick up this, is that you want Him to know Him. When we do sing, we're serious about knowing Him and seeing who He is. So we don't read Scripture to be not in trouble. Is that true? Some people read Scripture because they don't want to be in trouble. That's magic. We don't do magic. God doesn't do magic. When we open up this book, we like saying, God, I want You to show me who You are. There's a hunger for You. I want to relate to You differently. I want You to change me. God, I'm busy with worship. A lot of people don't see Scripture as worship. Scripture reading as worship. And that's the truth that needs to be embedded. And then we've got to come together. We've got to rejoice around Scriptures. We've got to rejoice about the chains of our hearts. Sorrow knocks us, you know. And Scripture says, forgive. And you think, I don't want to forgive. I first want to choke. And then smack. And then maybe I'll think about forgiveness. I don't want to greet. I don't want to greet Him now. I don't want to see Him. If you ever walk past people and they have an emotional effect on you, you just see Him and then something comes up in you. It's just, you know, then you know there's something wrong. But then you read Scripture and then Scripture says forgive, and you're like, oh, maybe that's for my wife, but it's not for me today. No, but that's the time when you've got to sit down and say, God, I'm here to worship. God, I don't have what it takes, but You've got to help me. Open up my heart, open up my eyes. Show me how to love. And what I'm wanting to leave with you, because at the end, these people, they knew how to express the Scriptures in love. Love for God's Word is very descriptive. It's Christ phoning someone. You better pick up. Jesus. You know, I want to extend this invitation to you again, because these people left. There was joy in their hearts. Their sorrow changed to joy. It was joyous worship. So now they went and they had to share what they had experienced. Now, here's the problem. It's very tough for us, and I'm going to end up with this, to express love. Love should be the easiest thing to express, but it's not. Let's just be honest. It's just difficult. Sometimes we know how we feel and we know what we want to say, but we can't say it. Sometimes there's more tears and there's more joy, but if we have to put it in words, we can't. I can't explain this. I don't know how to say this. Some people even find it difficult to say sorry. I'm going to give you a tip. When the band says, start singing a new song, and you can't, it's most probably the difficulty of expressing how you feel. And you can't. And you're like, why are they saying this? At this stage, this is the best that I can do. And they see, words can't come now. I can tell you this, sometimes it's even difficult when you sit in front of people and they ask you, so just tell me how you feel, what happened here? And you freeze. I know how I feel, but I can't tell you exactly. There's no expression of my worship. You see, worshippers know how to express themselves. Even if it's in the shower, and you sing in 51 different keys, at least there's words coming out, which Christ will understand. I usually preach to the soul when I practice. Seriously, when I bath, I preach it to the soap. Seriously, Sylvia, I get the soap then and I preach the sermon. You've got to have a desire, you know. That's how I do it. I preach myself happy and clean. I do both. You know, and sometimes it's difficult for us to express. You know that this doesn't come naturally to me. You can ask Elmi. She always needs to drag stuff out of me. Because I love reading. I'm very into music and tech stuff. And into beats. I think in terms of beats and patterns. When I come into a room like this, I would do this. There's 8 doors. There's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 3 on that side, 3 on that side. That's how I think. I think there's 3 lights, 3 lights, 3 lights. That's how I think. Nobody knows it, but that's what's going on in my head. So when my wife asks me, so how do you feel about this? I think numbers. And I can't express. But God had to help me to come to this place. God had to teach me how to worship. Because if you can express how you feel to Him, you will be able to express it to other people. So sometimes the best thing for me to do is I must say, Elmi, pray with me. And when I prayed, then Elmi would say, oh, so that's how you feel. Say, yes, that's how I feel. I explain the way I feel better through I'm praying. And it's also a negative because sometimes she will say, don't preach at me. You're not a pastor. I want my husband who can talk to you. So sometimes the thing that we're brilliant with, we think we can use it in other people. And my challenge to you is that this joy, there is not happiness, there is not pleasure. It will transform you to express the love like they had the ability to express. So, you can come and come now to peace. If you find it difficult to express, if you really want that ability just to express your heart. And I know none of us like to be misunderstood. Especially when the heat is on. When the heat's on, the chances of being misunderstood is very great. And the chances, if you cannot explain yourself for somebody to hear a different thing. I mean, I've been in there so many times. I'm trying to express how I feel and then somebody hears something else. But you know, it's an intimacy thing. This is an intimacy with God thing. Because if you can say it to Him, if you can pray it to Him, if you have the openness and the courage to do it on your knees, if you have the openness and the courage to worship Him in such a genuine way, where you can just let it go, it would be much easier to do it when it counts. I can give you a lot of reasons why we can't. The one thing that I'm not saying is we need to be bad. You know, sometimes we expect stuff from people and they can't give it to us. We corner people and then the husband is like in the corner, he can't explain. He's like, yeah, I really want to say this. Now, this is what he's thinking in his head. I really want to say how I feel, but I can't. Corner people, but you must. How do you feel? And then they can't. You know how painful that is? And so that's why the best way is to worship Christ, because He always understands. But He wants to teach us how to verbalize our worship. And isn't it beautiful when you do read Scripture and you know how to verbalize yourself and you say that people like understand? That's it. Honey, that is so gorgeous, it's so beautiful. You feel like chuffed that, oh man, I got it. This time I got it. And I explained it in 4 sentences. So I want to extend this invitation to you as you worship with this morning. Express the descriptive love of God. That's why so many people just love 1 Corinthians chapter 30, where Paul says love is not just love is not that. Paul's ability to express things was just amazing. The apostles' ability, Jesus' ability just to tell people, where are those who condemn you? Neither do I. I mean, that is it. That lines that movies are made of. Where are those who condemn you? Neither do I. That's just saying stuff to people the right way. But I can tell you, God's wanting to bring our worship to such a place where we can express it to people in ways that they've never thought of and never. Some of it's going to be writing, for some of us it's going to be painting and art, for some of us it's going to be writing music. And for now, I would say go with your strengths. If you can't explain it, sing it to people. If it's intimate enough for your wife, sing it to her. Write a poem. Paint something. Express it by giving gifts. The words as the worshiper should be part of joy that was there after the sorrow that has been taken away. Because it won't come cheap. Let's pray. Father, we all worshipers and we want to worship with spirit and in truth. And God, our words are best expressed the truth. This burden. God, we struggle sometimes just to say how we feel. People that misunderstand us, they don't get us, we get frustrated. But God, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, you say that you've poured the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and that is why we can express the love of God. Descriptive in words. If you want somebody this morning, as our eyes are closed, is wanting to lay hands on you so that you can have those words, just to do, first of all, you've got to practice alone with God. You worship with Him. And then He's going to show you how to do it. And that's why I'm saying, first talk to God, first worship God before you go tell the other people. If you just want some more strength, some more words, I want you to come. We're going to pray for you. Just take the time out that lands. I want to thank all of you for coming, Father. Thank you for those who came. Thank you for the fact that we're going to have just a beautiful time now together with fellowship. Fellowshipping is having coffee. It's all part of it. It's all part of the worship. Everything I do, God, it's just going to be gorgeous to be here. Jesus' name, amen. If you really need prayer in that area, we're going to pray for you. God's going to help you. I really want to thank you for coming. Just being expressive. Being an expressive worship. Knowing how to worship. Knowing how to talk to people. Imparting the joy. Telling people about your sorrow and exchanging your sorrow for joy. If you want that, please come forward. We're going to pray for you. Immediately, Christ is wanting to do something within our hearts here. It's going to help us a lot. It's going to change the way church does things. It's going to change the way we sing, the way we think, the way we feel. Worship's going to change a lot. Worship is the way that we're going to take this nation. Sometimes people won't understand what we're saying, but they'll get what we're singing. They're like, wow, the stuff that you sing is just so amazing. But if that is what you want, let's pray.